1-800-856-2619018 or questions at bftbc.org. 1 John 1:8, 9, and 10. Let's read that together.
Because I wasn't here last Sunday.
Oh, that's right.
Because I was helping with faith.
Oh, that's right. I remember. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. All right, if we say, who's the we referred to then? We. Yeah, Barbara?
Believers?
Believers. He's writing to Christian believers, then we're Christian. We say we have no sin. Some people say that. Yeah, Barbara?
Schuller said he had none.
Really?
Yeah, he said he doesn't sin and he didn't have anything.
Wow.
Is he true or false?
Well, he's false.
Because
more ways than one.
Well, that's right.
Schuller that has a radio program?
Yeah, sure. Big, big deal.
He said now, he had no sin?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what does God call it? What does God say about it if we say we have no sin?
Yeah, Paul? Oh,
he's
a liar.
Liar? And what else?
The truth is not in him.
What else? We deceive ourselves. What is deception? How would you define deception?
Deceitfulness.
Could be deceitfulness. What else? Deception. Do people deceive other people?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, Paul,
it's an illusion. A person believes their own lie.
Did Obama deceive the people and said, you keep your doctor, keep your plan? Did he deceive us?
Yeah.
He sure did. And also, he did what Paul just said. He lied. He's a liar as well. In that. But if we are Christian believers, what is a group of Christians that say they reach a place where they cannot sin? What's that group called? Several groups. Tammy?
Holiness
groups, that's right. Yeah, Bill?
Sinless perfection.
Yes, to the holiness groups. What else do they... Lying, we say. Not always similar to perfection, but what else? Oh, yes, that's close enough. That's close enough. Some of the charismatics there, they're holiness people. They're called not being able to keep life for eternal eternity. They can fall into sin. They're Arminians, the general Arminian view. Yes, Tam?
Well, not the old life hypothesis, but the new. Neuropentecostals, they're more ecumenical, they would be in agreement with that too, probably.
Obviously. Okay. So, but we cannot say we have a sin. Now, some of the people boast and say, oh, I'm sinless, I've got to reach the point. No. What causes genuine Christians to sin? What causes genuine Christians? Any hands on that? Nobody knows. Okay. Yes, Barbara?
The sin.
Sin nature. We got the sin nature, the old flesh. Tammy and then Bill.
First,
we have no sin.
All right.
Okay,
Bill.
First John 1:8. Yeah, Bill.
That's humanism. That's humanism because they believe that they are the basis of all that exists.
Mm-hmm. As far as the ones that are lost and hell bound, do they generally think that they have sin or no sin? They're all right. In other words, they're all going to heaven. There's no problem as far as God is concerned. They don't even believe in God, some of them. So that's a very serious verse. Verse 8. And then verse 9, we've said that many, many times. It's, how would we define the word confess? And what Greek was it from? Yeah, Barbara?
Homologeo.
What does homologeo mean in the Greek?
To agree with what God says.
That's true. And the word homo means what?
Same.
Like the same type, milk, and logeo?
Word.
Well, also, what else? To speak. To speak the same thing that God says, agree with God. That is, if we agree with God. Now, what is true? Who's the we referred to here? Any hands on that? Yeah, Barbara?
The same we in verse 8, the believers.
Genuine Christians. Can this verse apply to unsaved, godless people?
No.
No, it's not made for them at all. It's only the we. What do they have to do to be saved? Tammy?
Trust the Lord Jesus Christ.
Finish working
with
God. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ. Yeah, Barbara. Repent. Trust the Lord Jesus and change your... Now, some people now, let me just point this out. Some people say that you must repent and believe. Two things to be saved. Dr. Schaefer always put that in one single thing. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It involves changing your mind concerning sin. And changing your mind that we're sinners and we trust in Him. A lot of people think repentance. Now, David Plow's got the same thing. He's got to have repent and believe. See, he's mixed up on that as well. He's sound on most of the things. But, for instance, it says in the scripture sometimes, the Lord repented. Does that mean he's a sinner?
No.
What does it mean? Dan?
Sorry, I don't have an answer to some people,
but
I was
going to
say something else.
Go ahead.
The trust isn't just simple, head knowledge. It's
a hard
trust. Knowledge. Trust is your confidence and act upon, whatever, if we're sitting on this chair, we're trusting it's going to hold us up.
That's
or
right.
Other illustrations like
The same way with John MacArthur. He has this idea of lordship salvation. He puts in repentance before you, but also you have to make Jesus Lord of your life before you can be saved. Is it possible for any person in the world to make Jesus Lord of your life before you're saved? Because sinners can't do it. See, so, but genuine faith and changing your mind concerning sin, that's certainly part of repentance, but changing your mind concerning sin, and the matter of repentance as a work, because the gospel is clear. John 3:16 says, well, let's say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Does that verse say repent? Is repentance in that verse?
No.
Is making Jesus Lord of your life in that verse? No. But who's it? What kind of belief is, as Tammy just said, what kind of belief is this? Good luck.
He says that God is not willing to get all. That should perish of whosoever will believe in him.
Alright.
In other words, he's giving them the opportunity to come to him for salvation.
Uh-huh. And Tang said earlier, what kind of belief is it?
It's trust, it's who you rely upon.
What kind of belief? You said it before.
From your heart, but
from the heart, not the head.
I'm just clarifying more.
Yeah, Barbara, that's more than
that. No, I was gonna say.
All right. Hard belief, really trusting Lord Jesus Christ. Confession, he's faithful. Who's the he there referred to? In 1 John 1:9. Who's that he referred to? Tammy? Tammy?
God.
The Father, that's right. If we, that is Christians, confess, agree with God concerning our sins, we agree that we have sinned. What about Christians that just don't agree necessarily, but they just confess like to the priest or something else? Without realizing that's really sin, they just talk about it and say it and speak it. What about those people? Yes, Bill.
The priests or pastors or whatever, they're not capable of forgiving sin. Mm-hmm. Only God can forgive sin.
That's right. If you think confess just means to speak, to say,
that's not enough.
It's got to be agreeing that what we've done is sin. Lord, I have sinned. And then, only then, he is faithful to do what? Two things. Just, he's faithful and he's just. Now, faithful, what does that imply? Faithful. Any hands on that? Any hands on that? Yep.
He's trustworthy. He's reliable.
Trustworthy? Bob, you have something?
Faithful. He doesn't have full of faith. Faithful.
Well, that's true. But in this case, somebody's faithful in doing things, that means what?
He's reliable.
Reliable. And what he says he's going to do, he does it. He's trustworthy. He's going to carry out what he promised. Yes?
I was just going to say, his word is bond.
Word is bond. Going to carry out what he says. Faithful. What is the second thing about it if we genuinely agree with God our sins and confess them?
He's
just. What does it mean that he's just?
He's fair. He's fair? He knows everything.
And how?
But he makes just judgments.
Now, on what basis is the Lord just in forgiving sin, Bill?
He cleanses us from all unrighteousness.
That's true, but on what basis, Tammy?
The basis of the blood of Christ.
Blood of Christ, Lord Jesus.
Trusting him.
That's right. How many sins did the Lord Jesus pay for the whole world? How many sins? The whole world. And if we trust as we're saved, he's asked for us and believe genuinely from our heart we're saved, God is just. In other words, can he forgive the ones that don't trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Can he immediately, just by saying something and never trusted Christ, can he forgive the people? No. See, now he's a forgiving God, but his forgiveness is based on what the Lord Jesus, his Son, did on the cross, right? So faithful to forgive us and just to forgive. What does forgiveness mean? Any hands on that? Forgiveness. Yeah, Bob?
It's canceled out.
Canceled out? Paul?
And his words, as far as from the east is from the west,
All right, and Barbara?
To send away.
Yeah. The Greek word is aphiemi. Aph is away, eimi is to send. Aphiemi, send away, to send away. Forgiveness. It has all been placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our sins, the whole world, Christian believers especially, is able to forgive our sin. Who's the "our" referred to there? Any hands on that? Yes, Barbara?
It goes back to the "we."
The true believers. I really, it's in italics, but I mean it's understood by the context. Our sins, he's able to forgive our sins, and he's just and faithful. Does that up? Does this verse apply to unsaved people that have never been born again? No, it does not. Yes, Bob.
It applies to the unsaved until they,
and then
as soon as they accept Christ,
as soon as they accept Christ. Yeah, but as they exist here, just unsaved people, he doesn't forgive their sins. He's not just because they haven't trusted Christ, but if they trust Christ, then he's just, he's faithful, and to cleanse. Now, what does it mean to cleanse? Cleanse, who's the "us" referred to here? Yes, Barbara?
True believers.
True believers. What does it mean to cleanse? Yeah, Barbara, Tammy?
Wash from sin.
Wash. That's right, wash, clean up. From how much is he able to forgive and cleanse? In verse 9. Barbara?
All
unrighteousness. Now, unrighteousness is not defined, but how would you define unrighteousness? Why would we give some examples of unrighteousness? Yeah,
unrighteousness,
opposite of righteousness. That's right. So what are some of the things that God considers unrighteous? Verse 9. All sin. What kind? Now, what are some of the sins that would be unrighteous? So people can understand it in the scripture.
Things that are listed in Galatians.
Right. In Galatians,
works
right.
Of the flesh.
Works of the flesh. Lying and stealing and corruption and adultery, fornication, all these different evil things. And the all from all unrighteous cleanse us. The us is again the same person, people in the first part. Genuine Christians from all unrighteous. All right, verse number 10 says, who's the "we" referred to here? True believers again, genuine Christians. Now, again, if we say if we have not sinned, remember in the verse number 8, it says, if we say that we have no sin, in verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, what does that mean? The difference between we have sinned but not sinned, what does that mean? Yes.
If we have no sin, that's a noun. So we don't have anything against it. But if it's the verb, if we have sinned, we commit the act.
All right. If somebody says, I have no sin, what does that mean? Versus a person says, I have not sinned. We have no sin, I have not sinned. Any distinction that we have, huh?
No sin is lying.
Okay, in other words, you have no sin
you're
of any kind.
Sin.
All right. They have no sin, other than sin nature, maybe. Yeah, Barbara?
If we don't have sin, then we're already perfect.
That's right. But then when it says, I have not sinned, what would that mean?
Any transgression.
Okay, any transgression committed. That's right. But if you say no sin, that means there's no sin nature in us. There's nothing here. But then the actual acts of sin, I have not sinned. Now, in verse 10, what does it say of those that say we have not sinned? What things? We make who a liar? Yes, God Himself. What does God say about our sin?
For all
of
sin.
All
of
sin. I'm sure of the Lord God, yeah, huh?
What if you don't know you're sinning? You must be sinning and don't know it. If we're sinners, yes, we are.
What?
Even if we're Christians, we must be sinning and not know we're sinning.
What? Are there some people that don't know that they're sinning?
Well, if you don't know you're doing something wrong, then how do you
know? Does the unsaved worldly person? Yes.
Well, ultimately, God is our judge.
All right.
His word, His Holy Spirit. Can convict us as much as we know of His Word.
Mm-hmm.
So, someone who doesn't ever read their Bible, that doesn't mean they don't sin. That means they can't walk in the Spirit because they don't even know what the Scripture says.
Mm-hmm.
They don't even know the mind of Christ.
Mm-hmm. All right, questions at vftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Give us a call or comment. Glad to hear from you. Now, if we say we Christian believers say we have not sinned, what two things are true? First is what? Yeah, Barbara.
We make God a liar.
We make God a liar. Why does that mean? What do you mean? Why do we make God a liar? Yes, Paul?
Well, because it said in this word of Romans, all sin comes short of the glory of God.
That's right. Good, Barbara.
Thank you.
It said it's all, we make God a liar. God says we're all of sins. If we say we have not sinned, we are make him a liar. Is God a liar?
No. He's not man that he should lie.
He's not man that he should lie. He's perfect. He's no liar of any kind. What's the second thing is true? We say of us in the second thing. Yes, Barbara?
His word is not in us.
Now, what does that mean? How would that apply in understanding this verse? Hey, Barbara?
Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee.
All right. And if word is not in us, what is the, what, how does the word not in us have to do with sin and saying we have sinned or have not sinned? Make him a liar. Barbara? I mean, Tammy?
It says in John 16, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you. No, that's not the verse I'm looking for, but it's in John 15. Mm-hmm. And it's about abiding in Christ. We can't abide in Christ, so the Holy Spirit can't be leading us unless the Word of God is in our minds and controlling us. So we need to be obedient to His words and brings it to our mind.
Now, if people don't know what sin is, whether they're saved or lost, if they don't know what sin is, how can they say whether they have or haven't sinned? Is it possible? Yeah. Where do we find out what sin is in God's word? Yes, Bill.
Anything that contradicts the word of God is sin. However, the sinners quite often don't realize that sin is real, that there really is sin, because there's no truth in them. Everything that is in them is a lie, and they have no basis for believing in the concept of sin, because all they know is lies.
But Bill and Tammy, then Bob. Paul. You got something in that, Paul?
What I was going to say, the only way people will know what God's Word said is in the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures.
The Scriptures, yeah, Tammy, and then Bob.
In chapter 15 of John, verse 30, it says, now you are clean for the word which I have spoken unto you. And the source of fruitfulness comes in the next two verses. Mm-hmm. Abide in me, and I in you, as this branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, and ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me, ye can do nothing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I guess we sin when we don't know, just by being in reason.
Huh?
I mean, if we don't deliberately sin, it doesn't mean we're not sinners. And maybe we're sinning and we don't know we're sinning. That's the part I don't catch on to.
How do we know what God means by the word sin? How are we going to find that?
The word of God.
The word of God, the Scriptures. The Scriptures define what sin is in God's eyes and what it isn't. Okay?
The only way that we can be sure that what we're doing is following the Lord is by meditating upon what God has said to us and letting the Word of Christ change us and mold us.
Barbara?
Isn't that what the whole concept of the red heifer was? There was, you know, the five offerings, and then there was the offering of the red heifer. That it was. I'm not understanding. It's what the only thing I come up with. It's not the word I want. But that was the concept of the red heifer.
All right. Does the world agree with God as to what sin is?
Well, what
does the world agree with God?
No. Where do we find? You can believe all this. Like I believe that all this is. I believe. I know the Lord is my Savior. I'm sure that I do bad things, but I don't always know that I'm doing bad things. Except you inform me.
I do.
But, I mean, it's hard to know. Now, if I deliberately start swearing or something, if I get a little mad at everybody, well, then that's sin nature.
Well, let me ask another question. The same question, we're going to make sure we have it. Where do we find out what sin is?
The Bible.
Scripture. Does the world agree with God as to what sin is?
No.
In fact, does the world even use the word? I don't know.
No.
I don't know that they do. They just go, yeah, Bill.
A lot of people say that sin is strictly a religious concept. It has nothing to do with reality, according to many sinners out there, especially atheists.
Yeah. Come on.
Well, in Galatians here, lust of the flesh, and if you're led of the spirit, you're not under the law. The works of the flesh are, which are these: adultery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, which that means envious, contention, rivalry, jealousies, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, and drunkenness, reveling, and such like. Well,
all 17 of those specified is sin.
But, yes, but
and such
if
like,
we judge ourselves and we don't think we're guilty of these, that doesn't mean we aren't a sinner. I guess I must, I don't know.
Okay, Barbara, and then Tammy.
The heifer was for the offering of the pilgrim life. It was for the unintentional sin. It was for defilement and not sin. But to be defiled, you still couldn't come before God. Christ fulfilled the law, so he fulfilled the concept of the red heifer here. So that would also apply to our Christian life, the unintentional, that if we don't know we're sinning, if something's wrong and we don't know until we're told, either by the Holy Spirit or through his word, that's covered.
But does God call it sin even if we don't know it's sin?
Yeah.
Does God still call it sin? But you have 10?
Well, there are sins of omission and commission.
Yes, what's
the difference? Those are the sins of commission that mom is reading.
Defining commission for us.
There are things that you do as opposed to not do, omit, you know, sins of omission. So if you fail to give thanks for something that God has done for you, if you fail to pray for someone, those are sins of omission. So we can sin both ways. And I don't know if that, I mean, it says it's the works of the flesh, but are there other sins of the flesh?
Oh, et cetera, and so forth.
Right,
et cetera,
right. It's not just those that are written there.
Right.
It says, and many more, is it? Or something?
And
what's the very end sentence?
And so on, or and others. What does it say?
Of which I told you before, was that I also told you that.
After the list, honey, all the list.
I did, that's what it says.
So, what's the last word in the list?
The list.
The last sin.
Drunkenness, reveling, and such like.
Such like. That's
such
the word.
Like,
such
yes.
like.
Okay. But we don't have any idea what the such like
is. Oh, that means a lot of other things.
Well, there's
just
things
a few
that are written in other places in this country.
Right. But these are 17 listed specifics. Plus a lot of others, many, many others. Uh-huh.
And the opposite of the sins that were named, plus the sins we evidently hide up with, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, comfort, jealousy, and meekness, all those things. There's no law against those.
No, those are not sins. It's what
if we have those in our life, which I'm not sure, I can't judge myself. I can judge myself, but I can't always come to the right conclusion.
Are any of those
fruit? You have to be partial for myself.
Is the fruit of the Spirit sin?
No.
No, absolutely not.
Love, joy, love, seven, jealous, goodness, and deep. But maybe I don't have fruit of the Spirit. I don't really, every day I don't think I have any fruit of the Spirit. I guess I should be going through
but
the
But we're talking about sin, though, now. Not the fruit of the Spirit, but sin.
It's the opposite. If I don't have that, then I have sin. And I really haven't thought about this. I mean, I don't...
Well, a person that's not walking with this Holy Spirit and control of the Spirit of God, it's possible they don't sin. I mean, it's possible. It's very hard. Yeah. Tammy and Bill. Was it Tammy that said that?
But I could reiterate about abide in me and I in you.
Mm-hmm.
And if my words abide in you, in talking about fruit, it's the fruitfulness comes by abiding, having the words of God abiding in us.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
That verse in John 15.
Okay, if we're not abiding.
Right. Bill, go ahead.
Some people don't realize that they are sinning while they are sinning because they think that many of their behavioral and thought patterns are normal and that other people should have them. For instance, let's say I was a politician or a president and I see something that in another country and I want that resource. So I call up the army and invade that other country. That is horrible sin. wasting life indiscriminately for possession. That's stealing.
Yes.
But there are so many things that many people are used to. If a person goes to one of these places where they have striptease or something like that, mm-hmm. they think that's normal behavior and that it's okay. They don't think of it as sin or anything like that. They're way off.
Yes, yeah.
David had 29 wives, which wasn't enough because he lusted after Bathsheba. Got her pregnant, killed her husband, and nothing happened until David, until Nathan said, "Thou art the man."
Right. Yeah.
I'm having a hard time believing that David didn't think he wasn't doing wrong when he did it, but apparently not because it didn't dawn on him. And so it took somebody, it took his Lord's prophet to tell him that, hey, you know, I'm going to tell you a little story here. And David said he deserves death. And, well, yeah, so do you. Mm-hmm.
Did David ever repent of his sin?
Oh, create in me a clean heart, O God, renew a right spirit.
Where's that from?
It's on 51.
51, he repented. Against thee, the only of us sin. That is great. Yeah. That's right. Now, for instance, the practice is growing and growing and growing of homosexuality. Is that sin or is that fine?
It's
sin against the Word of God. That's right. What about transvestites? Is that
transgender?
What are the priests?
Transgender.
Transgender. Transgender. And a lot of trains are closed. It's a mixture of transgender and transgender. But in the beginning, God created what?
Male
and female. That's exactly right. And the reason the president doesn't want transgenders to be in the military is why? Among other things, what is one of the big reasons? Our president Trump.
Is that what he said?
He's prevented. See, others. Obama said, get him in there, all the transvestites you can, because he's a homosexual himself, Muslim homosexual. Obama was and is. He said, bring him in. See, but what has Trump just recently done with it? He says, no.
Banned.
No transsexuals or transvestites. They're in there, but he's against that whole thing. What's his reason? Bill?
I'll bet a lot of the military leaders are happy that he's going this route.
Yes. And they don't want these half men who have women there. I wouldn't want.
We don't want that kind of confusion in the military.
Right. What other reason does President Trump have? I will tell you. First of all, they want to get free transsexual medical surgery, which causes maybe $1 million. Furthermore, every time they go into surgery for that, they're out on their own 238 days. That's 365. Yeah, that's coming up to half a year over here. So it's going to be, this government has to pay their bills for being wicked and sinful and perverse. I'm glad he's done that. Now, he's got a lot of backlash from everybody's against that. But anyhow, that's what's in. If we say we have not sinned, we lie, we make him a liar, and his word's not in. Any other comments on chapter 1 before we move on to chapter 2?
It's special right.
Pardon me?
It's special right. They want a special right.
Special right, that's right, exactly.
They want to be in the military, you have a special right to take all these days off, right? Is the government paying for them?
Yes. Oh, yes. Freebie, see? Okay. Go ahead, Barbara.
I haven't been a military wife for 20 years. They can't do, they couldn't have the surgery unless the surgeon okayed it.
Uh-huh.
So a lot of this hangs on the medical profession as far as approval goes.
Yes.
Because you don't fly, you don't go into combat, you don't do anything without medical approval.
Uh-huh. Yes. Somebody on the phone, go right ahead. Who is it? Speak up.
Hello.
Anyway.
If the doctor didn't approve it, they couldn't.
Yes, I've got the phone out like that.
Your telephone.
You don't walk into a
My telephone. Your cell phone.
Cell phone on?
Yes, we're on.
So to have it on. It's on.
Is it on?
Okay, if you now.
And.
What? Somebody must have called. Give him a call on my phone, 856-261-9018. 856-261-9018. I don't understand. Pastor Dan, we're supposed to do
it. It's going to voicemail.
Going to voicemail?
Yes.
All right. Let me repeat. Any other comments or questions on chapter 1 before we move on to chapter 2?
Completely
as we could possibly cover it. Elaine, did we cover it completely?
Nodded her head, yes.
Paul, did we cover it completely?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
So it doesn't work in your phone, they call mine for Jacob.
Jacob's there. I wonder why it didn't work. Jacob wants to talk to us, huh? Jacob, give me a call at 856-261-90. Oh, maybe.
Go ahead. It doesn't work in your phone.
Okay, Dad, I see it. Dad, please fix it. It's on Buzz. That's why I couldn't see it.
On
Buzz.
Vibrations on.
Yes, oh, Jacob, go right ahead. Fix it for me. Yes, go ahead, Jacob, from Texas.
I was thinking about these three verses over here in John 8:30-32.
Yes.
These words, when he believed on him, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then ye are my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, the truth shall make you free. Yeah, we need a lot of Bible.
Yes.
So that talk that Bill gave a couple of years ago, the old man versus the scripture.
Uh-huh.
I was reminded of that. That was really good. And like he said there, it's automatic. You know, it's not just our flesh, it's the old life, too, that will divide it. You can react to something without even processing it. Anyway,
yes. Very good. Thank you.
Pound sign.
Then what?
But you go back
now,
to the regular.
Hold it down.
Hold it down for a moment.
Hold it
down. A couple seconds. And switch over?
I don't know.
It should have come up on the screen. It's a vibration motor.
Somebody has to call me, I guess, to make sure. That's a promise, it works. All right, so no more comments for chapter 1, or let's move on to chapter 2.
We should finish, have more to say, but I guess.
Well, we just had 8, 9, and 10. There was 8, 9, and 10 today. And last Sunday we had the first verses. Pastor Dan, you got a call there? Okay, we're checking on the phone. You people listening to us, pardon us for a little pause. Now let's begin by reading chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3. Questions at bftbc.org or 856-261-9018. Does my phone work on that?
Mm-hmm.
Is it calling? It's still buzzing. Dan, you got to fix it. I can't fix it. Here, take it here. So we get people. You can't. Come up again.
I can do it. Just give me a moment. I can't get up to the meeting.
Just put it on the table.
We're right here. Thank you. Because I think we should have it open. Because people, if we have them to call, they can't call. I can't hear them because it's buzzing. Sometimes you can't feel the vibrations. So the master of everything, Pastor Dan Waite, will fix it. Unless those big people are listening to us, give us a call, 856-261-9018, for questions at bftbc.org. All right, let's begin reading chapter 2, verses 1, 2, and 3 together. My little children, these things I write unto you, that you say, we have not. And these things we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. And we know that we know him if we keep his commandments. All right, chapter 1, 2, verse 1. That answers me. That's
you're
it.
Right?
That's me. That's me. My sound, right? Okay. Thanks. Very nice. Okay, it works. Very important that it works. All right. Who's
you
in my room?
No.
Nobody called. That's Pastor Dan just checking it over.
Oh, okay.
What does my children mean in chapter 2, verse 1? Who's that?
My little children.
Paul.
He told his fathers believers?
I believe it's a Christian, but what's the difference between children and little children, Evan?
Well, first of all, I think the writer must be John. He must be the children in the faith.
Children in the faith. Bill?
No, I didn't raise my hand.
I thought I had hand.
I was going to say these could be the people he led to Christ.
Could be. What's the difference between children? Okay, Tammy.
Well, verse 13 of his chapter says, little children, he calls them little children because they have known the Father, as opposed to being young men or fathers.
All right. What might be the difference between children, saved people, children, and little children? What might be the distinction?
Babes that, you know, when they yeah. come to trust in the Lord.
Could be new Christians, another babe, let's say, little children. Okay. So, why did the Apostle John write these things? What's the purpose in verse 1 that he wrote this whole first John? Yvonne?
He doesn't want them to sin. Evidently, they were sinning like man and didn't know they were doing it.
All right. He does not want them to sin. That's a very important thing. Does God want any of us to sin?
How do we know if we're sinning or not?
The Word of God tells us. Word of God. Does God want any of His children to sin?
No.
But He wrote these specifically to these people that they sin not. Is it possible for any genuine Christian never to sin or for sin not? No, that's not possible. We're not perfect. Who's the only one perfect person in this world could never sin?
Did
the Lord Jesus Christ say that?
But there's a goal of sinning less.
And less,
and that's what he's trying to say.
That's right. In other words, God does not want us to sin, even though we're not perfect, and we do sin because the old flesh is just lustful for sin. It wants us to sin. But I write you that you sin not. Now, the solution is what in verse 1?
So it's possible to sin not.
Well,
I thought you said
being
alive.
No, not impossible to sin not because I'm sinlessly perfect.
Can
we be sinlessly perfect?
No.
We're just talking about that.
Okay, Barbara.
But we can have victory over
sin. Oh, yes, we can. But he doesn't want them to sin, that she sin not. It doesn't mean it's possible to sin not. So if any man sin, what's true? What's the answer to the problem?
Why would he pray for us to sin not if we can do it?
The word continually sin.
But God doesn't want us to sin in any way, shape, or form, even though it's impossible not to sin. And Bill?
We need to recognize when we do sin as quickly as we can so that we can confess our sin.
There's a questions at bftbc.org, 856-261-9018. My phone is now ringing, so I can hear you, so give me a call if you can. And we're glad to talk to you. Say hello.
Able to ring.
What isn't that? I write these things to you that you sin not. In other words, that I don't want you to sin. That's all it means.
Right.
That you sin not, you don't sin. I write that I don't want you to sin. That means you can't sin.
It's not saying sinless perfection.
Right. That's what Mom is thinking. It teaches sinless perfection. Well, I'll be straighten her out, Pastor Dan. Straighten your brother out?
I tried.
Well, we were talking about how it was a goal.
It's a goal.
What he's saying. This is his desire. He doesn't want to continue to sin.
Exactly. Yeah, Barbara.
Well, what Pastor Dan said is the continually of it. It's not that we don't, but that we don't continue in it.
But does God want us to sin a little bit even?
No, nothing.
But he doesn't want us to continue. All right. He doesn't want the Christians to sin. Doesn't mean they can't sin. Doesn't mean it doesn't sin. But they don't want you to sin. What's the answer to the problem in verse 1? Yeah, Barbara?
The advocate.
What does advocate mean? Yeah, Barbara?
Call to one side. One who pleads, another's cause before
right,
a judge.
In this case, Tammy?
It's like a divine lawyer.
It's a divine lawyer. Now, what do lawyers do? What should they do?
Well, it
depends on
what the prosecutor defends.
All right, but what do lawyers usually do?
Represent.
Okay.
Plead the case of another.
What do...
Or cause.
All right. What do defense lawyers do?
Defend the client.
Unless you're in Russia, but in this country,
in certain, you're innocent, you're guilty.
Right.
So they're accused of something, and so the defense attorney is defending them against that charge. Now, my client's innocent of all these charges.
All right. Barbara?
They defend against the prosecution.
All right. What do prosecuting attorneys do? Any hands on that? Yeah, Tammy?
They appeal the case of the plaintiff for the person that's been injured.
All right.
They plead for justice for them.
All right. Now, the next question I have is, what kind of attorney is the Lord Jesus Christ?
Both.
Both. All right. In what way is he both, Pastor Dan? The ten?
He's going to judge us. Or not judge us. He's going to judge the world. Right. And when he returns. And,
all right.
And all knees shall bow before, bow, or whatever.
Yeah,
every
knee shall bow.
And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So, in that sense, he's the judge. And he's our advocate for those who have trusted him. He's just bring those out of him.
All right. And Barbara?
The Holy Spirit convicts us of sin. We confess that sin. Christ has been our advocate before the Father to say that that sin has been taken care of.
Sin has been covered, forgiven. That's what it says in 1 John 1:9, isn't it? To confess, to agree with God, sin is faithful, just, forgive us of sins, and cleanse us. So would you say the Lord Jesus Christ is only the prosecuting attorney, or is he a defense attorney? What does he do
both?
Both, all right. What does he as a prosecuting attorney? What does he do as a prosecuting advocate?
Convicts.
All right.
Through his word.
And what about the Pastor Dan?
In the sense that he's our advocate, the advocate of the believer, and also an advocate of the non-believer, the advocate of the believer, because the Lord Jesus Christ will call God the Father. These people are confessing their sins. It's all covered in the blood. I came and became flesh. I died for these people.
Mm-hmm. So in the sense of covering as our advocate for genuine Christians, what is his main goal as an advocate and attorney? Prosecution or defense?
He defends us before.
Yes.
Because when we sin, he intercedes for us. It's intercession for the believer.
Yes. But does the Lord Jesus, what does he do for the unbelievers? Is he advocate or is he a defense or prosecutor for the unsaved? Not that they're in this verse, I mean, but in general. See, the advocate is for the Christian believers, but he prosecutes them. And all of sin comes short of the Lord. And if they don't trust him, he's going to be against them. Who's going to be the judge at the great white throne judgment?
Lord
Jesus Christ. And he's going to be prosecutorial, not going to be defense. Is there any defense that they have that will stick before the judges at the great white throne? No. Great white throne. No judge. No. They can talk.
I believe
they can talk. He doesn't want to hear it. It will never suffice. They'll be sent to the lake of fire, hell for all eternity to come. But the believers have an advocate, a lawyer, defending us with the Father. And who is he? What's his title in verse 1? Yes, Barbara?
Jesus Christ, the righteous.
Absolute, perfect righteousness. And then in verse number 2, what does also it say that he's at 10?
That's why he can intercede for us, because he's righteous. He's going to be able to be that intercessor for us.
That's right. Pastor Dan.
This hymn number 5 bleeding wounds he bears, receives on Calvary a poor
go ahead, read it if you want to.
Five bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. They pour effectual prayers, they strongly plead for me. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Forgive him, oh forgive, they cry. Nor let the ransomed sinner die.
All right, that's interesting.
Please, the word plead.
Please,
all right. Five wounds of Christ, they plead for the Christian who needs an advocate in heaven.
All right. In verse number 2, what other attribute does the Lord Jesus have other than that first one as righteous? Barbara?
He's the propitiation.
What does propitiation mean?
He's
Satisfaction. Satisfaction. Do most new versions use that term? No, they wipe it out. They don't like it. It's too big for them. Too big for their britches, as they say. Yeah.
Doesn't the NIV add a whole lot of multiple syllable words that take the place of one or two syllables?
Yes, they do.
But they can't stomach this one.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's one of the things in the new version. Big, long. See, that's one of the things when our son Don Jr. Had this whole thing on the Bible's words. One of the things he found it's easier to read is because of the readability. It's readability. The length of the words are much longer in the other versions and also other things, but it's more readable than these other big versions. But this is true. He absolutely appreciated
it.
It's kind of amazing. He's got a lot of them on it. He's our propitiation, a satisfaction. In what sense is the Lord Jesus Christ the propitiation? By the way, before we do that, who is the word there for our sin? Who's the our? Yeah, our
true believers.
True believers. Then we're Christians. Propitiation or satisfaction for our sins. In what sense is the Lord Jesus Christ the satisfaction for the genuine Christian's sins?
What's the question?
What is the sense of which the Lord Jesus is satisfied and propitiated for the sins of Christians? Is he only propitiation? Well, he died for the sins of whom?
Everybody.
The whole world, everyone. But the special, sufficient propitiation for our sins, the sins of genuine Christians.
Only when you receive, you get.
That's right, because we have trusted him as our Savior. We believe in him as our Savior. That's why God is satisfied. If people haven't trusted him as their Savior, genuinely from the heart, is he their propitiation? No, he's not their satisfaction, propitiation. Because, so, what does it mean to be, yeah, go ahead, Barb.
Then I don't understand, not for ours only, but also. It's not only for ours.
Well, I guess that's right.
For the sins of the whole world.
Now, what does that word for mean? What does that mean for me? That's true, in the past tense.
Because.
Could be, because.
Behalf of.
These are propitiation and satisfaction, but also who else?
Well,
yeah, go ahead.
That points to the
availability.
Availability,
yes.
Of the sacrifice that he made at,
yes,
Calvary, even though it's not effectual unless you believe.
Exactly. And Barbara?
God gave his son.
Yeah.
So, what he gave was perfect and complete for what he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for the world.
Mm-hmm.
But whosoever. But it was the gift was for the world.
Mm-hmm.
For everybody.
So, in the context of verse number 2, he's the appreciation, satisfaction for not only the believer, our, but also the whole world. But is there a difference of the, is there a difference of appreciation for the, I see a man out there out getting out of his car. That's all. But that's all right. Don't worry about it, honey. I can look out that cat. Look over here. Look up there. I'm just wondering.
That's across the street.
Across the street. They're going to stand across the street. All right. What's the difference between the appreciation for the saved, the appreciation for the lost? What's the difference in the appreciation according to this book? Yes, Ted?
Well, it's not been received by the lost.
See, just because it's available, they don't take it, availability, this is not doing them any good. But it's available for not ours only, but the sins of all the others as well. The whole world. Does that fit in with hyper-Calvinism?
No.
Why not? And Barbara?
That according to them, Jesus only died for the elect.
Just the elect, certain group. It's wonderful that he's propitiated the satisfaction, not only for us. Now, where are you going, honey?
Well, I'm
going to
go to rest.
Oh, I thought you were going to look at that man outside. No, the man just drove away. I just thought you were
going to
look at that man. Honey, I thought you were going to look at that man. I retract my question. So sins of the whole world is wonderful, isn't it? The sins of the whole world, yes.
Well,
Okay. So I know in the context of what we were talking about when we were looking at the last verses in,
yes.
in the, First John, it's referring to the reference, it's referring to the Christian, but all men sin. So right. if someone is a sinner that is not saved and they believe they have no sin, then they're a liar.
Yeah,
just as much as the Christian
right.
would be a liar.
That's right. And we've got to be truthful and not certainly lie. That's full of truth. So wonderful propitiation, wonderful satisfaction, Lord Jesus Christ. What did the Lord Jesus mean when he said the words from the cross, "It is finished"? What did he mean by that? It is finished. Any hands on that? Bill.
He has paid the price for the sins of the world.
All right. What about 10?
Was God at that moment satisfied with the sacrifice that he had made?
Yes, and that's the way. That's very good. So he says it. So then the sins of the whole world, wonderful thing, is satisfaction if they trust him. But if they don't trust him, is he the satisfaction for them? No. They're going to be in the great white throne judgment. Then in verse 3, what does hereby mean? Hereby. Any hands on that? Okay.
It refers back to the previous two okay. verses. And so by these two verses before, specifically here, you know, that might not be right hereby, because
I missed that Eleanor.
Yeah, we're getting here.
Okay.
No, you haven't. Right, now I forgot my thought. Okay, it was that because he is our advocate and because he's the propitiation, hereby we know.
All right. In this way, so the verse tells us in what way we know him, what is the way of this verse? If what?
If
keep, in other words, what does it take to keep something like these commandments? What does that take? What does that involve? Yes.
We have to know what they are.
We have to know what they are. That's the first step, isn't it? The second step is?
Do them.
Do them and keep them. So we know him. We know him. We have fellowship with the Father. We have fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Fellowship with the Advocate. If we keep his commandments and know them, first of all, there's a more a closer intimacy. All genuine Christians know of the Father in a certain way, but those that are walking with him know his word closely and keep his word. It's a closeness that we have. We know in a good, solid, intimate way the Father and the Son as well. Now, the hymn possibly goes back to the Lord Jesus, right? Because in verse 2, he is the propitiation, it's the Savior. Advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, verse 1. So we know him. Do all Christians know the Lord Jesus the same way and as deeply?
No.
Why not? Should they?
Yes.
Okay. Could they?
Yes.
So possibly, yes. They can?
Perhaps they, some people are interested in
knowing
him.
Yeah.
Some Christians aren't.
Some Christians, they don't care. But it's a wonderful thing that we can know him either a little bit or a lot. God wants to know him the most closest way we can by knowing his commandments and keeping them. Let's read verses 4, 5, and 6 before you. The questions at vftbc.org or 856-261-9018. And my phone works now. I just had a buzz. Now it can actually ring. We hear it. So please give us a call if you could. Right, verses 4, 5, and 6 together. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word in him, verily, is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we have in him. He that saith he abideth in him, on himself also showeth the wrong, even as he will. Right, verse 4. He that said, who do you think that he refers to there? Could be even. Could it not? Tim?
Christian, right?
Could be.
Or
could be Christian.
They might not be a Christian, actually.
In other words, it could be a Christian. We know if we keep his commandments. And he that saith, I don't know, who might that be? Probably. Of course, sometimes the unsaved people think that they know God, don't they? They say, yes, oh, we know, no problem, everything's fine. But if it refers to the Christians, they say, he that said, whoever says, so you're going out there to look at that car now. I know what she's doing. All right. He that saith, I know him, and does not do what? Does not keep his promise. Where are his commandments found? Where are his commandments found? The scriptures, the word of God, the Bible. She that keepeth not his commandments, what does God call it? What does God call it?
A liar.
A liar. Do people like to be called liars?
No.
No, not Charlie. Yeah, Barbara?
We go back to, we make him a liar. Back in the, what is it, verse 10 of chapter 1. We make him a liar. We can also be liars in the same truth.
Yes, in verse number 10, chapter 1:10, huh? We make him a liar. If we say we have not sinned, God says we have sinned, all have sinned, and we make him a liar. In this case, these people are liars. Why are they liars? In that verse number 4? Yes, Barbara?
They say they know him, but aren't obedient.
Aren't obedient. They say, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments. So, isn't the knowledge of the Lord is different than just general knowledge? For instance, we may have a knowledge of the president, for example, just the president of our country, no matter who it is, but to know him personally, you meet him and you talk with him and so on. So, if we say we know him, but don't keep his commandments, what he wants us to do, God calls us a liar. And it's not very pleasant to be called a liar. And what else is true in verse number 4? Not only a liar, but what?
The truth isn't in him.
Truth is not in him. In other words, the person that says, I know him, and doesn't keep his commandments. So, really now, these things I've read to you that you may know all things, and the Lord Jesus' prayer to the Father, I pray that they may know thee and keep thee. And I think in chapter 17 of John, there's some implications the same way, that they may know intimately. The disciples knew the Lord Jesus Christ in a very intimate way. They were with him, they saw him, they listened to him, and so on. We're not with him like that, but we follow his commands. What he says, that I guess is a close knowledge of him. Keep his commandments. Now, we have a paper up in the library of my office about commandments. Is that word commandment limited to the Old Testament commandments?
No.
No. How many commandments roughly are there? That is, orders. Do this. Yeah, in the New Testament.
Over 1,000.
That's right, 1,500, 1,600. We've got all of them upstairs in my file. It's interesting. A lot of people confuse that. Some people said, well, please send that to them. So I send it to them if they want them. Over 1,000. Oh, yes.
Okay.
I know exactly where it is. I think I
know. A long time you didn't know where it was.
No, I just looked at like the other C, commandments. So I put right in the file, C, commandments. They're there. I think they're 1,100 or something. Over 1,000. Keep his commandments. Is it easy to keep his commandments or hard?
Hard.
Both. Okay. Why is it both?
Depends on this.
Okay. Some are easy, some are hard.
And it depends if it's a few lines of instruction that helps you with obey.
Right. Some are easy, some are hard, but then are keeping his commandments, all of them, the totality, easier or hard?
Hard.
That's hard. Definitely so. Then verse number 5. Whoso keepeth his word. There again. Where is his word found? Where is his word found?
In the
Bible. Scripture. What Bible? What scripture?
Original. In English, it's the King
James. In this King James, right? What are the originals? What are those?
Greek, Hebrew,
and Aramaic. All right.
Masoretic.
All right. New Testament, Texas, Septus, Greek.
Hebrew.
Old Testament, Masoretic, Hebrew, and Aramaic. A little bit of Aramaic. And that's what his word is. Now, at the Dean Burgon Conference, my message at the last was 75 examples, many others, 75 examples. Pardon me?
It's
83. Yeah, but I cut it back to 75.
Okay.
There are 83 slides, but there are 75 of those. See, because at the beginning I had other things to say.
I don't know, I probably have an old
The old time I did say 83, yes, because there are 83 slides.
Okay.
In the first part, I defined what Gnosticism was, what they believed, and things like that. So that took up quite a while. They ended up with only 75 actual commandments. because the Gnostic scriptures did not have text for sentence. In fact, Dr. Mormon has counted the number of words that are omitted from the Gnostic critical Greek text, 2,800 something, 2,006 up to 2,800, just dropped out. And some of the things that are dropped out, I mentioned in the slides, in the DVS conference, very serious. There are actually 356 total words or doctrinal passages that are there, different. And I tell you, of those 75 that I dealt with at the DVS, most of them were dropped out. Most of the words. What's the add? Sometimes they add, sometimes they change, but many times they just drop out. I put those words that dropped out in red. And so I read the scripture in black, and then red ink. It's exactly what was dropped right out of the thing. It's terrible. And so those that use these modern versions that have 8,000 differences in the New Testament from the text Receptus and 356 doctrinal passages, do they have all of the Word of God? Do they have all the Word of God? They don't. It's a sad thing. So, in fact, they don't even want to know it, I guess. They're too smart. They fight and they argue. And so on. But anyway, be that as it may. But in verse 5, whoso keepeth his word, what is true in verse 5 of a person, a genuine Christian, that keeps and guards his word? Barbara?
The love of God is perfected in him.
Love of God perfected in him. And hereby we know that we are what?
In him.
In him. Who's the we referred to there?
Jesus Christ.
We are in him.
The
believers.
Okay.
Yeah, that's right. The we is the believers. And they're Christians. Whether we are in him. That's right. The Lord Jesus is in him. That's correct. Keeping his word. Love of God is perfected. Now, is that objective genitive? The of or subjective genitive, do you think? Objective or subjective?
Subjective.
The difference.
What's
the question? Say of differences. God's love. The love of God is God's love. That's genitive, which is...
That's subjective,
isn't it? Subjective genitive. And if it's our love for God, that's objective genitive.
It's our love for God.
Which is it true here then? Love for God or yeah. God's love for us?
Our
which?
God.
All right, that's first number. If we pray with the love of God, we're going to keep his word in him. Here, Byron.
Is that right?
The love of God perfected. Our love for God could be objective, isn't it?
Which is
perfect.
The love of God is perfected in us.
That's right. In him, verily, is the love of God perfected.
So
of God. Probably God's love for us, huh? Would it be?
Yeah.
Would it be?
Yeah.
Or also could be love for God. Love for God is the object of Jesus.
I mean,
to keep his word perfected.
I mean, it's sort of a parallel to the statement.
That's right.
Because keeping his word is how we demonstrate that we love God.
Yes.
So.
See, that's right. I think our love for God, that would be the object of Jesus. If we keep his word, our love for God is perfected. In other words, keeping his word, that we recognize.
Really?
Pardon me?
Really?
What?
I'm thinking it's subjective.
It could be subjective.
Because it's
God's love for us. God's love for us, it could be subjective.
It's perfected in us, yes?
Yeah, love of God is perfected. God's love is perfected.
Because the love of God is the subject of the thing, because the love of God is perfected in him.
He that keeps his word, God's love is perfected in him. That's subjective.
Well, that would be interesting, too.
I mean, so that's subjective.
I suppose we can understand more perfectly. But if we really have our love for God solidly, the love of God is perfected. We'd understand what perfect love is if we really follow his word. It's a possibility. Either way, it gets subjective. Hereby we know that we are in him. In him and saved. Let's stop right here. Maybe we'll see you up next week. But any other comments or questions on this chapter 2 before we close? All right, if not, let's give up.
This isn't a chapter, but this is a very nice book on Titus.
Well, good. Well, if you hadn't picked it up, you'd pick it up yesterday if you want.
Nice.
Well, praise the Lord. Let us close with a word of prayer. Oh, by the way, I want to tell that to people that are listening. If you're out there, I don't know where I put the book. I guess I put it away. But if you're interested in getting a book, Titus, well, if you want to, I just hold up so you can see it. We just have this new book that's printed, and it just came out, published. It's our latest one, and it's called Titus, verse by verse in Titus. So this looks like a gray with a red text on it. Give us a call, and you can order that. Order that from us, 856-261-908. For questions at bfdbc.org. Let me see. I think it's 15. Let me see what it is. 15 plus shipping and handling. Let's see here. Well, it depends on where they live. Yeah, $15 plus $7 shipping and handling. 15. So go order that if you wish. Let us close word of prayer. We thank you, Father, for this epistle by Apostle John. Thank you for this first chapter, the end of it, first part of chapter 2. Things that belong, that we should know. Help us, Lord, to read and study thy word, that we may grow, that we may know what sin is. Help us not to be so pompous and pious that we say we have no sin, we're perfect. No, Lord, we're not perfect. Help us by the study of thy word, obedience, make us more perfect, more like thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, loving thee, serving thee, accepted by thee for it. Kind of direct and continue to bless the ministry of our church around the world. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Thank you for coming, and